Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Yeah, you sent me something from the Irish Times.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lohse.
Still here, John, having a good time.
This has really been, I mean, it's an hour. This is the last segment. It flies. Yeah. But I just want to go, I'm going to reverse order now. We have Alan Foley with us, who is Glacier.
Yes.
Right? And then we have Devon Lomax. I say it wrong every time.
Lomax.
Right?
Lomax. Lomax.
Yes. I don't know why I guess.
You wouldn't remember.
Special. Lomax. Lomax.
The famous sports broadcaster, Stan Lomax. You would know. None of you would know that.
Going in the wrong direction. Is there a chef out there?
Do you remember Stan Lomax?
No, my dad would know, though.
Yeah,
for
yes.
Sure.
He was very, very famous.
Bernie Lomax. Weekend at Bernie's.
Who's the political director? He's the political director at District 9.
District Council 9.
District yep. Council 9, excuse me for cutting it short. And then, of course, we have John Skinner, who is the Commissioner of Labor for Nassau County, one of the probably the best commissionerships on Long Island and best labor forces on Long Island. No, in the country, not Long Island.
In the country, okay.
We got to go there.
You're giving me a lot.
Laura might be listening.
You're giving
in
me
the
a
country,
lot to live up
in
to.
In the country.
I guess I better get to work.
And then my partner, Peter Janowski, who really is a lifesaver for me in many ways. Let's just go around again. We were just talking about Marty Glennon's study and the importance when we were talking a little bit with Alan here in reference to I go to bid on a job. I don't have a union group behind me, and I bid making $1 million. And the union guy bids $1 million. So I get, for whatever reason, I get it. Explain the difference. I'm winding up then with a hell of a lot more money if I'm only giving my guys $20 and I'm not giving them medical or anything else.
Right, right. And that's what people don't realize. The prices are.
Why are they getting that job in the first place?
Well, it might be a little, it might not be.
Okay, make it 900.
Right, right, okay, right. One or 1.1 million.
So you're getting it because it's 900.
Yeah. And but they're profiting so much more because, like as you said, there's no benefits to the workers. They're getting paid. Half the price in some of these instances, and as we were talking about during the break, there's been studies that show that these states that don't have prevailing wage laws, there's no savings to the taxpayer. They're still bidding these jobs at the same price, comparable to the same price, and so prevailing wage actually puts more money in the average person, the average worker's pocket. Therefore, they have money to spend, and that is spurs economic growth.
I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
You have no way of telling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're probably doing both, and then you have split shops, and there's no way of checking up on it.
Yeah, the whole thing is done in a very sophisticated way to confuse you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Unless a worker wants to come forward and file a case that they're being paid off the books, being paid cash,
and this is not
how do you prove that?
This is not something you're going to ever read about in the news because no one's ever going to pay attention to it or care about it. And it's, again, like I was saying before, we're still losing. The war on perception and publicity.
Well, the publicity.
People think a non-union job, they must be doing it for half the cost.
My heart breaks for anybody who
That's
dies.
What they think.
And this past week, we had the police officer who died on his way to work, on his motorcycle, and anybody could die on a given day. I don't mean that, but but the county, the city, everybody is not up in arms, but remembers the man, and it's very befitting, and it's nice, and it's a fireman or a police officer I'm referencing, and then you have going back to John's number, 69 construction workers that died on whatever field, whether it's electric, whether it's plumbing, whether it's wrought iron. And until I had a conversation with John a couple of weeks ago, I had no idea. I assume one or two people died. That's just normal. They could have had a heart attack, but never as staggering a number as this.
As John said, what is it, one every 5 days that
one
works out to?
One every 5 days, and that's the NICOSH study. That's not actually my number. That's NICOSH,
who
done a study and did extensive research to dig up those numbers on a statewide level.
And if one was dying a week in some other field,
right,
in some other thing, it would be an epidemic.
Yep.
If everybody died from a disease, some ridiculousness, on Long Island, they'd be paying attention all of a sudden. Absolutely. Like, wait, one person a week is dying from XYZ, we don't know what it is, let's look into it. And nobody cares.
And I think when you look at cost, and I got this from a friend of mine who runs a company that does union and non-union work, who's a personal friend, and he told me, I just bid a job, maybe it was a county job, I'm not sure if it was a county job or a private job, but they were 40% under my number. how do I compete with that? And the way that contractors or developers...
They wanted him to come in 40%
lower.
The competition
was 40% lower than him. He says they have to be breaking the law to be able to come that much below my number.
Right.
And he's a reputable business guy here on Long Island who's got a construction company who does good work, has worked with the union sometimes and worked without them. So he's a really reasonable guy. And he said... Clearly, they have to be breaking the law to do that. And some of the ways, if you look at the criminal behavior in some of the construction industry on how they do that, that's wage theft, that's breaking workers' compensation fraud, payroll tax fraud. And I think Tish James just made a statement on how much New York City loses a year based on these kinds of crimes. And I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $780 million, if I'm not mistaken. That was just in New York City, not including encompassing the whole state. So the taxpayers are losing big.
That's because people aren't getting paid.
Companies break the law to get these jobs. And it's the taxpayer and our state budget that loses tons of money on this every year with characters that don't play by the rules.
You know, you used the phrase before, labor crime. I don't think a lot of people who are not involved with this world ever heard that phrase,
right.
You know? And you just rattled off a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the public is really not educated about labor crime.
Wage theft alone is three times all other theft combined in this country right now.
Yeah,
the last studies that I looked at.
I believe that.
So
you got such figures. I love it. You really do. Yeah.
So these are the issues that they don't make the paper.
Yeah.
Why don't they make the paper? Is it because we have a liberal press? Do we really have a liberal press? I find that rather hard to believe. If none of this stuff, if we had a liberal press, everybody would know about these items I'm talking about.
Right. Yep.
So clearly that's a misnomer, as well as many other things in this country right now, right?
Well, you have a handful of corporations that own every media outlet, just about, so...
I believe it's six, right?
Yeah, six, it is. Yeah. That's the number.
Okay. It's a great point. I'm willing to bet 99 out of 100 people are not familiar with New York State labor laws and what overtime laws and regulations are supposed to have and how often they're allowed to take a break every 4 hours, every 8 hours at lunch and what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet 99 out of 100 people in the state of New York are not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Complete lack of education.
I'll agree with you. And what I think you said, and maybe Otto, and most of the people turn around and say, yeah, because the union's doing this and the union's doing that. Mm-hmm. They don't have to work. And, you know, as opposed to saying we should get everybody up to the union and give everybody a nice playing field.
Yep.
It's the reverse. You're not looking at the positive of the union. It's like the union's stealing. Otherwise, we'd be able to afford more.
Right. Yeah, I think we
all enjoy our weekends, right? That was the labor movement.
I always say in the construction industry, I'm okay with my boss making money.
100%.
But, you know, it's about the trickle down, right? If it's trickling down, then the workers should be able to support their family on
the boss has to make money. If the boss doesn't make money, you're out of business, too.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's what good unionism is and what was taught to me when I came into my union. Yeah. My dad said to me, yeah, you're a union guy and you stand up for yourself, but you got to make that guy over there money because if he's out of business, you're out of a job.
It's a partnership.
Right? It's a partnership. Yeah.
And you don't begrudge him. Guess what? He's taking the risk because you can go to another job, hopefully, but he might be out of business.
Right.
So he has to make money, and hopefully he's a decent person.
Exactly.
That's an attitude, though, that doesn't seem to exist in a lot of places. You know, the top part wants to get a bigger piece of the pie, and they don't trickle it in. And
what you're talking about now is unprecedented greed in this country.
Yes.
And that's what's going on in this
country. You had said, we only have a few minutes left. You had said something about it.
There's unprecedented greed in this country. And the addiction to money is the same as the addiction to drugs, except we don't have a 12-step program to deal with the amoral behavior that the addiction to greed and money has. Mm. Okay? There is no 12-step program for those people to get back on track. And they can just never get enough. It's like any other addiction, any other obsessive compulsive behavior. And the drug is money instead of heroin or opioids or other drugs that people get addicted to. But it is an addiction, and it is a problem that nobody addresses. I've said this a number of times in a number of different venues, and people always look at me the same way, especially if they've had any experience with programs in their own personal lives, which most of us have in our families. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my goodness, I never thought of it that way. And that is the problem. One is the selfishness that society has garnered with the selfie. Right? You think about how many selfies people take and how they're so self-centered. And And then the other part of it is when, if you notice that some of the people who may be some of the most financially successful don't seem to be very happy. They seem to be miserable all the time because they never reach out to help another human being. And they don't realize that the true joy you get in your soul is from trying to help other people. I found this true in my own life, that the more that I've tried to be helpful to people and help people in my life, the better my life has become and the more happy I have become personally. And if we could get that message across to some of the people who are doing extremely well, perhaps they could skip the fifth Maserati and maybe help a few people. Perhaps.
Yes.
Right? I have that conversation all the time with Peter, with some of these people, that just where they spend their money and how they could help somebody out.
Especially in our business, we're exposed to people with
a lot of money.
We run the gamut. You know, yeah. John and I don't just, you know, we do everything. We run retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs. We do a lot of personal investing. And at the end of the day, there's many meetings we walk out of scratching our heads. We just can't figure it out. There's no rhyme or reason. And what you were just saying before about you don't need the fifth Maserati, you know what? I don't know if greed's an addiction, but it's a trait that I don't know if it could be unlearned.
You need the fifth. He has the sixth.
Honestly,
that's what issue.
You almost looking at a utopian society, and it reminds me of a quick story. We were talking to. I got to be really quick. a law clerk who in the court. It was a divorce court, and the woman was arguing for a jet airplane in the divorce settlement, and the judge says, "Why on earth do you need a jet airplane?" And she said, "He has one. I want one."
Wow.
Never forget. It's a true story. Love it.
You know, this is not anti-capitalism either. You pointed out you're a capitalist, right?
Yeah.
And you pointed out the fact that, yes, you're allowed to make a living, and that's
right.
You have to make a living, or you're not going to have
right.
a company.
Right.
That's not the point here.
It's a good
the point here is that everybody's allowed to make a living.
And everybody doing well.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable ask from labor side. It's a reasonable ask from the business people side that they make a profit. But I think there are a couple of things that are clouding that up these days, and I think people need to learn to share more. Just like you learned in kindergarten, if we all share a little more and do the things we learned in kindergarten, perhaps the whole of Long Island and everywhere else would be a better place.
My mother always said, if you don't come out with enough candy for everybody, you don't bring out a candy. You know, honestly, you don't take out two if there's six people, so you keep the candy at home. Don't bring it out. You got to share. Listen, guys, I want to thank everybody. John, Devon, Alan, Peter, this really has It turned out perfect, exactly what I wanted. And we could probably keep going on, but we have to go to the next step. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend. And we're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.